Welcome back to another episode of the Modern Multifamily Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Wilbur, and I'm really excited about the conversation I had today with Chris Arnold. He is the co-founder of Authentic, which is a real estate-focused agency, and he also hosts the Transforming Cities podcast. And in this show, we cover three really fun conversations. The first, we heard the founder story of how him and his co-founder started Authentic. Secondly, we hit on the why behind going vertical specific and focusing their business on real estate. And then we hit on the power of brand, both as it relates to the owner as well as to the resident. This was a fun conversation, and I hope you enjoy. Let's get into it. All right, Mr. Arnold, I'm happy to have you on today. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me so much. Appreciate it.
So, Chris, we've been chatting back and forth on LinkedIn now for a few weeks. We've had a couple one-on-one dialogues. I would love to jump right into the founder story, how Authentic was born, but also kind of the story of how you jumped into freelance and agency life. That's a huge question and place to start, but I would love to dig into the story.
Yeah, there are a few angles and layers there. We can try to peel back the onion quickly for brevity for the podcast, you know. But basically, you know, the story goes is I left college, kind of came all the way across the country. I'm in Denver now from the East Coast. And my first job was in the attic of my boss's house. And I had to take the job. I needed money, right? I moved to a new city and I worked there for about a year and I realized this really isn't for me, you know, 4, 5, 6 of us crammed into the attic. And I said to myself, this isn't really what I went to school for. This isn't really what I want to do, driving to somebody's house every day and kind of literally walking by his bedroom every morning to get to my office space. And so I started interviewing for another design job in town, a really highly reputable firm. And I got 2 or 3 interviews deep. And I thought to myself, this is a lock, you know, I got it. I'm in. And, silly me, younger me said, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks notice. It's good. I'm going to call it. And then I ended up not getting that job. And 2 weeks later I was without a job, across the board. And, I quickly had to pivot to, my roots, which was rec league basketball and refereeing for them and making some money during the evenings while I tried to figure out freelance and career and what that might have looked like for me. And thankfully it worked out. Obviously hindsight is 2020, but that was my first venture into the freelance world.
Well, sometimes good things happen when you are kind of put into the corner where you've got no way to go but to fight. What was the story like from kind of being caught off guard like that to starting Authentic, the agency?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty cool. It's, you know, obviously it's never a straight path, you know, really, really windy road to get there. But at the time, my uncle, actually, of all people, he was starting a real estate company back in the East Coast. For housing, for collegiate sporting events. So kind of a niche within a niche. And the idea was, hey, you come to, you know, UVA or Virginia Tech or one of these big, you know, collegiate campuses and you have a place to stay and you kind of rent out sublease space to come in for the games throughout the season. And he needed help with branding, with strategy, with web work. And that was really my first big kind of project in a freelance capacity. Now, over the years, I worked for quite a few other design shops and agencies and as a contract capacity, as a freelancer. As the years went by, I kind of kept doing that. I grew my client roster and ended up meeting my co-founder now, Bryant, who had something very similar going on, just more on the computer science side, more of a development background. And so with his tech and with my design chops, we ended up crossing paths, working on a few projects together and realized, hey, it's time to do something together.
And was that like a jump all in? Did you have an idea that you kind of like tested the waters on? What did that look like to go from cold connection to being co-founders for a business together?
Yeah, you know, back in the day, when I say back in the day, this is about 10 years ago now, we met over Twitter of all places. And he had just left Denver for Chicago. Like I said, he had his own freelance company going. And at the time, I had a Fortune 500 software company as a client, and I quickly realized I'm in over my head, and I need back-end support to make sure that this thing isn't going to fall off a cliff. And so he came in, he worked with me for, I would say, a good year and a half on that project. And really throughout that time, we realized, you know, hey, your technical background and my design background, we make a good team. Let's try to formalize this. And at that time, 2013, 2014, we formed Authentic.
So I'd love for you to almost just like define who Authentic is. And in my mind, the world of marketing, there are so many definitions of what a marketing agency might do in this day and age. What are some of those core staples that your agency is delivering to your target customer?
Yeah. So right now, you know, we've gone through a few evolutions. When we first started, we were a generalist agency. You know, we were really just trying to cut our teeth and continue to figure out who we are and what our strengths and weaknesses were. But about 4 years ago, you know, we kind of sat down and I brought up and I said, hey, you know, I think we need a niche into a specific industry. It's really difficult to be an expert for everybody. You know, it just doesn't work very well. And you're often left floundering in meetings and in conversations. Hard to carry a conversation when you work with, you know, a pizza chain, you work with financial services in the Midwest, and you work with a real estate developer in Denver. Three completely different conversations. And we got to this point where we decided, you know, of all of the clients that we worked with, we really felt like commercial real estate was a place to shine and a place to really inject some new energy with the experience that we had gained so far. And so today we're a full service marketing agency, and really we specialize in real estate developments and lease ups for projects, do a lot of multifamily, some industrial, some mixed use spaces, even some placemaking in open air malls these days.
That's awesome. And as you jump in with these, you know, commercial real estate developers and the customers you're working with, is there a pretty standard kind of motion you get into in terms of how you're partnering with them to develop brands and stand up projects? Or are you guys a little bit of all of it when it comes to how you partner with your customers?
Yeah, we really try to, the way we like to describe it is we try to click into every step of the development process or the development lifecycle. And, you know, it's sort of an integrated services approach, right? Where it's, you know, how can we use design, technology, and marketing to really streamline that process from pre-capitalization all the way through leasing, lead gen, and stabilization long-term. And so really we try to plug in, you know, phase zero and work with our clients, you know, phase five, six, seven, seven plus, let's say, to make sure that their buildings continue to stay leased up and in good condition from a marketing perspective.
And are you guys delivering the technology to the customer in terms of like the website platform, the CMS, or are you typically staying on the agency design side and then partnering with someone else to power the technology that's bringing it all to life?
That's a great question. And it's one that we get asked often. Early on, you know, the analogy that I always used was we need to be somewhere in between a Squarespace solution and a $100,000, you know, downtown Manhattan agency, fully custom website. We need to be somewhere in the middle there. And honestly, probably towards the lower end of that, just to get our foot in the door and get our kind of feet under us with a new client. And so at the time, this was again, about 4 years ago when we really pivoted into real estate. I spent a good year or so really chatting with people across the industry and making sure I understood what their pain points were when it came to digital. And I'm at this point, I'm really just talking about websites and how to get those launched for these projects. Out of that came a platform called Amplify that we built. And it's a modular design system that plugs into proprietary software. It's in a fully customizable CMS. It supports all the things that you would need in the real estate industry, like SEO optimization, you know, connectivity to your Yardies and AppFolios out there and things like that. But it always looks really custom and really polished as compared to, you know, you see those Squarespace or those Wix sites and you're like, ah, you know, it can be better, but you don't necessarily need the, you know, six-figure website when you're trying to do a, you know, 400 unit multifamily property. It's just not really in the cards, nor should it be, you know, really in the budget. So Amplify for us, it was our first, you know, swing at the custom technology side and really building in that piece of technology specific to Authentic. And that's really grown with us forward the last few years.
That's smart. I mean, to have something you can stand on that is your own, but probably to still have the flexibility to say we can partner with other technologies and help you on the branding side, that gives you some pretty unique flexibility in the space, at least if I'm hearing that correctly.
Yeah, it's really nice because we're not needing to, you know, ship off a brand to another, you know, agency or partner to build the website. And at the same time, we can often incorporate whatever third party needs that the real estate company or developer might have for requirement they might have for the website. And so it's very flexible in that sense. And, you know, while there is certainly there's a pattern to how these websites are launched, they're all a little bit different too. And so every group, every company has slightly different needs, and we're able to really fine tune, amplify to fit their needs.
I'd love to jump into like the vertical specific approach that Authentic's taking, deciding to focus on, you know, real estate, developments, lots of lease ups, it sounds like. And one of the things you'll hear about often when you enter multifamily or real estate is that it's a laggard industry, you know, a little bit behind the times, whether that's technology or business process operations. And I'm curious if that's been a good thing or a bad thing. You think about a modern enterprise company, they know the power of brand is important, but in real estate, they might not be thinking that way. What are the goods and the bads of being vertical specific as an agency in your mind?
That's a great question. Honestly, one of the main decisions of us to niche down into real estate specifically was that there was a lot of potential in commercial real estate, and there still is a ton of potential. It's an industry that is slow to change. It's an industry that's slow to embrace technology. It needs education. It needs a nudge in the right direction, right? And you know, that's what prop tech was born out of, right? We need to push for change in this industry, and it's just so slow to accept it. But that being said, being able to offer that integrated platform of services and tools to create demand for property, demand for lease ups, and then really help these businesses capitalize on that demand through, you know, thoughtful marketing solutions really allowed us to kind of dive in, hear the needs of the industry, and really take a step back and say, okay, this is what we heard. This is how we can really click into that process, like I mentioned. I will say one of the major challenges of being vertical specific is really understanding our weaknesses, right? Like we're fully integrated. We are full service, but at the same time, you know, we're not going to be, again, everything to everyone, even within real estate. And so, you know, they've been doing it for 30 years. They know what they need, and we really need to listen to them. Like just like a startup needs to listen to their customer base. We need to take a step back and say, what do you guys actually need? We're not going to just kind of create something out of nothing and hope that you buy it. You know, for example, we're never going to create a community engagement platform, right, for better relationship facilitation in 800 unit buildings, because while we could, that's not really our bread and butter. And we're not going to try to do that when it's already being done by other people.
Totally. I think that's cool. It's always a neat perspective. There are some agencies out there that are generalists and they do well. And there are some agencies that are specialists. And I think there's proving to be a lot of room for specialists still in our space. And every time I think that prop tech is crowded, I see a new vendor come in and they find wild success. So it's cool to hear that you guys are doing the same.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that everyone needs to keep in mind in the space is there's plenty of room to grow, and there's plenty of room to push for better outcomes, not only for the work that we're doing, but also for our client partners, right? And the customers at the end of the day.
Totally. I'd love to pivot into brand. Like branding is something we talked a lot about leading into today's conversation. And brand is kind of in this category of, you know, we think it's important, but it's not a focus, or, you know, it's in this kind of ambiguous category. And, you know, I think a lot about the power of brand as a consumer myself, consuming. I just got this Oakley shirt today. I'm so stoked that
looks
I'm
nice,
wearing this
by the
like,
way.
Crazy shirt. Thank you. But like, I'd love to hear your take on just brand. Like when you're talking to someone who's maybe new into investing in a branding initiative for a property or a portfolio, how do you teach in that conversation around the power of brand?
Yeah, it's really simple to me. And it comes down to a fact. And that is developers and or real estate groups, they have to lease units. That's their number one pain point. And you could even extend that out to industrial, mixed use, you know, office, whatever. Like they need to get the people from the outside to the inside to consume their product. And I wish I could attribute this quote properly, and I can't remember who it was at this point, but it's something that we always come back to at Authentic, and it's that the pendulum has swung. Your curb appeal is now more to do with your website than it is your actual curb, right? And when we hear things like 90% of people can find your project online, the odds of driving by are low, you know, unless it's in a prime location or maybe along a commuter corridor or something like that, you know, your friends and family can text you a link and share that in 5 seconds. You know, no one's going to go drive 30 minutes to check out a new multifamily property, unless they have a lot of time to burn, right? And so I always kind of talk about it like brand is the digital doormat for the experience that you're creating and this idea that you're trying to evoke in so you can get people in the door to actually start to experience that.
So I know a lot of people listening are going to instantly combat that and say, yeah, but nothing matters like the in-person experience, or it's all about the leasing agent or the experience we can provide once we get them in the door. Do you guys do anything to like make sure that as you partner with your customers, that brand is infused into the property to make sure that it goes deeper than that digital hello that you're providing?
Yeah, you know, going back to listening to the customers, one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we received sort of net resulted in something that we do now, which is really focusing on brand activation for, you know, if we're talking about multifamily, being able to activate the brand on site, in the leasing office, on the premises somehow, very early and very often through the lease up is critical. You know, we stand by that the modern client, the modern tenant, the modern lessee expects more. They want experience. They want to feel taken care of. They want to feel cool, like this thing that they're investing in matters, you know, like that has some sort of significance. And time and time again, if you kind of like look in the rearview mirror and think of properties and projects with the generic names, generic brands, it just sort of sets the tone for the Kleenex box experience. And so we really push our partners to activate fences, activate signage, activate, you know, light poles, think about murals, think about all of the things that would actually create this experience, even while the project is still being built. So that, you know, someone walking by 6 months ago still feels like there's a cohesive experience when they come back 6 months later to walk into the leasing office to meet a Mike, right? Or someone who has a friendly smile and maybe kind of like a cool swag item for them to sign the lease. And we think that's really important. It's multifaceted, again, kind of that onion thing I mentioned earlier, but it's more than just a brand, that's for sure.
So a friend of mine, his name's Moshe Crane. You might be following him already on LinkedIn. He's the director over at Sage Ventures. He did a video a couple weeks back, almost like knocking on companies that have gone too hard on property brand because it makes it harder for them at takeover.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a debate or like if there are things you do to make that transition easy or if you're seeing your clients actually maintain brand in a transaction, but I'm curious what your response would be. And I'm kind of putting you on your toes with this one.
I want to right now just say, let's get the three of us together and have like a showdown, like a rumble about brand and what's like too far and what's not far enough. But no, I actually think I know the thread that you're talking about. I responded to it. And I think at least the segment that I responded to had to do with column posts in a parking garage. And, yep. You know, do you literally throw your logo on every single post in a parking garage? And I actually agreed with him. I think the answer is no, that's too much. Like that takes it too far. But that being said, you know, I think like if a property changes hands, we actually have a lot of those groups that come to us and say, hey, how can we either A, take what we have and make it better, or B, like rethink it and sort of utilize some of the things that are already in place so we're not having to completely wipe the slate clean. But to his point, you can take it too far, that's for sure.
Well, maybe that's a good opportunity to flex your podcast, Transforming Cities, and do a three-way on there on brand and have the great debate.
I will. Yeah, I like it. I love the idea.
I'd love to get your take within this kind of brand conversation of this like age-old debate of property-centric branding versus corporate branding. From a digital marketing perspective, you know, we used to really see that the corporate brand transcended all the way down to the property, a single domain to really guide better ranking ability, but not just stopping at digital, like really making sure that if you're a Graystar property, Graystar is all over the property's name. And we're starting to see a little bit more property-centric branding. I think we've seen more and more of that. But do you have research or perspective as you work with your customers on the impact brand has to residents or prospects who are searching for their next place to live or rent?
Yeah, I don't think that, just to take a stance on this, I don't think that the modern tenant really cares if it's a Graystar property. I think, again, that the modern tenant wants to have an exciting place to live. They want to feel like it's a significant thing in their city or in their town. And when I see, property name by Graystar or so-and-so by whatever, it makes me honestly think of hotel chains. Like, this is, so-and-so by Hilton. And it's good to know that it's a Hilton property, but at the end of the day, five different Hilton properties can feel completely different. It doesn't really matter to me that they're Hilton. I don't know, maybe I'm getting rewards points or something, but at the end of the day, I think property centric marketing where we're sitting is really taking off, and it really matters. And it just goes back to, how can you create an experience for the modern tenant who doesn't want that generic Class B, Class C experience? And the irony is, even those Class B, Class C buildings can put forth more effort to make it more of an experience, but they're just choosing not to. So I don't want to speak for the Graystars of the world. I'm sure they have a different opinion, but kind of living in that space day to day and seeing the tenants that are moving into the properties that we're working on, I really do think it matters at a property level.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I spend a lot of time on Reddit and social, just sleuthing to learn more about, the modern day resident. Spend a lot of time with them that use our technology, and the property brand is the thing that rolls off the tongue. It's the thing that we use to search, and it makes sense to me. I'm just always curious on how to find the balance between the corporate brand as you grow your platform versus that property brand, especially in the rise of local search. Local search each year grows in terms of the importance. And so it makes a lot of sense, but it's always an interesting conversation.
Yeah. I think just as a sidebar to that, we have been in discussions with one of our partners who is considering putting out it's a multifamily model, very small. It's not micro units, but I kind of think of it as like a micro concept where it's only about 12 to 15 units. And the idea is, we're going to put one of these in 3, 4, 5 different neighborhoods across the city, and we want to brand it under the same name. And I think that's different, but I also think it's similar to what we're talking about, because in the same way that, property marketing matters on a property level, I think that this is going to be an interesting hybrid of the two ways of thinking, because it is very property centric, but at the same time, we're talking about 5 different properties. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that rolls out over the next couple of years, to see how is it received by, the general public, or is it resonating with tenants? Do they get that if they leave one on the north end, they can go rent, on the south side if their job moved or something like that? So I think, little like micro concepts like that, and changes in perception of how we think of property marketing versus, company-wide marketing, is going to be really interesting to see how it plays out.
And to be honest, I think that can fit directly into almost feeding in the leasing strategy for that portfolio. I mean, I think right now there's this like great debate on how far is too far to run a centralized leasing process, to have a dedicated office handling leasing for multiple properties. And I think that's like a perfect scenario to me where, you have a dedicated leasing office for that cluster, because to cross sell within there makes a ton of sense, because the reality would be, if someone's not a fit for this community, they might be for this one, based on where they live. And so I think there's actually a great probably opportunity for that to be a new business model, for people to go brand a city or a quadrant of a city, have a handful of doors they manage, and then lease those in a more scalable, thoughtful way. That could be really cool.
Exactly.
I'd love to kind of close with your take on the ambiguity of marketing, and especially when marketing is hard to measure. It's something I spend a lot of time talking about with my team, because I want our team to do things that are creative, that are oftentimes in the we're going to put our finger in the air and believe it's going to make an impact. It's why I run a podcast. It's why we send so many people swag. It's why we do experiences at all the conferences we sponsor. I put brand in that same kind of quadrant where it's important, I believe in it, but it's really hard to get a directly measured ROI on investing in brand. I know that's an open-ended question, Chris, but I'm curious what your take is on this ambiguity, hard to measure quadrant of marketing.
It's really tough. Like, it's the age-old question. I think the same question comes up when you're in design school, and it comes up when you have your first design job. You're going to get that challenge from every angle throughout your career, if you're a creative or if you're in the marketing field at all. And I still stand by that when done really well, branding matters, and it sets the project or the property apart. And, in my mind, at least in the commercial real estate vertical, when you do that, you instantly become part of the 1%, because it is so rare to do well in the real estate industry still to this day. you know, we don't really start to see data or ROI on the brand or the way that we think about brand until we're really talking about pre-leasing or literal lead gen and kind of the digital campaign side of things. But I will say another way that we see it early, which is maybe easier to sort of explain to your partner, your client partners, is early brand activation. And going back to kind of that brand activation piece that we mentioned earlier, you know, a good example would be right now we're working with a client who is still about, I think, 6 months out from pre-leasing even starting, but they already have 100 organic leads through their website. And when you're able to really position the brand through marketing to strategically disrupt what I would call the typical developer, property manager, leasing agent waterfall, and you're able to sort of move the needle, we think that you can circle back and point to the brand that's traditionally been in isolation and say, look, this is why it was so successful, because, you know, your brand is stunning. It matters to people. It's resonating with people. And even this early on, you're getting 100 organic leads and you're not even paying anyone to bring people in the door yet. And that's incredible. And I think that's the power of a good brand. And that's the power of saying, look, brand matters.
And I can only assume, just to add like a cherry to like your statement, that, you know, you look at how hard it is to hire or to retain talent right now. People like working for a brand that's strong. I can only assume there are intangible benefits that your customers realize that are wider than lead gen or retention, you know, hiring talent, retaining talent. There's got to be all sorts of stuff that feeds into their world because they're investing in things like a powerful brand that certainly stands out compared to nearby comps and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100%. Right.
I'm curious if you have any questions for me, kind of a curveball as we look to end today's conversation, and no pressure.
No, yeah. Obviously thanks for having me on the podcast again. I really appreciate it, Mike. I've been following you for a while now, and I know, a brief history of sort of the Mike movement throughout the ranks over the years. I saw something recently that you said about your time at Nike and the incessant need to dive into what the customer wants and what the customer needs. And I know that's, you know, near and dear to your heart now. Maybe it was different back then, but I'm curious, looking forward, you know, let's say in the next 5 years, what do you feel like, or what do you see as being the most important metric or most important thing to keep our pulse on across the marketing world in real estate?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that one of the things that's, you know, interesting is looking to your own expectations from a consumer perspective to make sure that you're kind of passing the sniff test as it relates to what you're doing. And I think that's like an interesting way to think through it internally. Do we like this experience that we're putting in front of our customers or our future customers? Because if we don't like it, why in the heck, you know, would they? And we're being pushed so quickly as technology transforms our expectations. And I think that's something that I'm really trying to think through more and more internally, is we do have a good understanding of what good looks like because we're a modern consumer ourselves. And are we excited about this experience, whether it's on the marketing side or the software side? But that, I think that's the first thing, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, it does. I love how you said, by the way, we're also, I forget how you just worded it, we're the modern consumer as well. I think that's really important. And I think that's, while we might not be the literal target audience of Project XYZ, I think we still have a very strong lens which we can look through and inform decisions to.
And I think the second thing that I want to keep doing, I do it already today, and we do it as our business kind of more broadly, is no matter where you're at in your career, and no matter what you're doing from a technology or service perspective, is kind of acknowledging who your customers are, not just who your customer is. And in our world, we sell to the owner or the operator of a real estate property or portfolio. And it's really easy to stop with understanding what they want. But in our world, I think keeping the modern resident close to your chest is just as important, so you can understand their customer as well, because we're serving the same person. And whether you're in multifamily or whether you're in the shoe game like Nike, it's why I talk so much about what was unique about Nike was flying around the world to talk with sneaker consumers to understand what they wanted and what they were going to want down the road. And I just think no matter where technology takes us, keeping the end consumer, the daily active user, close to your chest is always going to be a competitive edge that any business that does it can have.
Yeah. Well said.
Well, hey, Chris, the one thing you didn't pitch today was your podcast. I would love for you to kind of quickly kind of share the why behind your podcast before we close today's conversation.
Yeah, no, that's thanks for bringing that back up. You know, early in the days of transitioning our agency into real estate, I was having these really great conversations with people all across the landscape, developers, architects, planners, you know, really great conversations. And I said, why don't we just start recording these and making something out of it and capturing these conversations? And so the podcast Transforming Cities was started about 3 years ago. And we went on hiatus for about a year here. And now we've kicked it back off this spring and summer. So if you want to tune in, you know, your favorite podcast listening app, Transforming Cities, it's going to be there. I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn. So posting, you know, some podcast clips and everything like that on LinkedIn, you'll be able to catch what's going on there too.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure to share both your personal LinkedIn and the link to your show in the show notes for today. And I can't thank you enough for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.